Welcome in, Kiora, to another episode of the Podfathers, a Slam Diego Padres podcast. On the mic, per usual, here on this Sunday night, we got Los and Walls. Los, how was this past week for you, my friend?
What is up? This past week, it was as normal as a week as it can get. I don't really have anything new to report. I was pretty, other than going to a couple games this weekend, I kind of just laid low, cleaned the bedroom. Looked pretty disastrous, but now it's kind of tidy. We'll see how long that lasts, maybe a couple of days, but pretty normal week. I got through the first month of baseball season. Felt like a full season, a lot of action out there, but we'll get into that in a bit. How was your week, Walls?
Good. Yeah, no, I mean, along the lines of tidiness, the Podfathers are a tidy bunch of blokes. So don't expect our rooms to be messy for too long over here. Nice and organized. It was good. I saw you went to the game Friday, Saturday. I went today. So apparently I'm the bad luck over here. Boom. I've been in almost 2 years. It was my first time this year. So I was extremely excited. Sat down for Profar's nice catch there, and then it kind of went downhill after the Tatis bomb, but that's all right. We'll get into that a little bit later. If you're asking me how the whole week went, I could probably recall about Friday onwards. I think Monday through Thursday, pretty much the same. Same old. But any improvement on the golf game? I know that was a little bit of a downer last week. But
yeah, no, I didn't touch a club this week. It was on my list of things good to move. Do this weekend, but my couch was looking extra comfortable during the day, so I didn't really move too much.
That's solid. Yeah, I won't make you as irritated to go sit on the couch if I was going poor too. Yeah. So I like it. Good move. All right. Well, anyways, just a quick update for you guys. 16-13 after today's game. Again, recording on a Sunday against the San Francisco Giants. Won the series, which was good. Took the L today, though, so we are currently 1.5 games back of San Francisco, who, through the first month of the year, have actually been quite a surprise. And, yeah, you want to take us through some of the individual stats we got rolling here after this week's end?
Yeah, so to date, home run leader on the team, our boy Toddy, he's got 8 after today's very nonchalant home run. It looked like he thought it was going to be a foul ball off the bat, but it made it out in that right corner. So he's at 8. RBIs, we've got Haas and Manny tied at 17. Stolen bases, Grish, Machado, Profar, and Will at 5, which is awesome. Aggressive on the base paths. We can kind of touch on that in a bit, but 5 for those 4. So 20 total on those 4 guys alone. I'm sure that's more than a lot of teams have throughout the entire season so far. Hits, Hosmer with 31, and then average, Hosmer leading the team at 301. As far as individual pitching leaders go, Darvish is at 2.13, slightly lower than Musgrove after today's game. Darvish has 49 Ks, which leads the team, a couple more than Musgrove. And then saves Melanson, the shark, the turf god, 9 for 9 so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just coming to fruition of Darvish kind of solidifying himself as that ace. You could tell. Yeah. I mean, it's only been a month, but for him to really have his quote-unquote struggles so far in April and to be leading the team in a low 2 ERA, almost 50 strikeouts through a month, that is pretty damn impressive. But, yeah, no, that nonchalant home run, too, by Tatis, like you're saying, went out to that very famous right field porch there from this weekend. So a lot happening over there. But anyways, hopping into the Diamondback series, feels like ages ago. Quick little two-game set. Game 1 was on Tuesday, game 2 on Wednesday. To roll through game 1 right now, 5-1 loss. Looked pretty flat, honestly. It was the classic laboring, unenergetic feeling that the team had after the previous Dodgers series. So didn't come out firing. We had 5 left on base. Again, bummer theme so far in the year. 0 for 7 runners in scoring position. Grisham had an extremely costly error that kind of made Paddock unravel just a tad. And his final line for the night was 5 1/3, 6 hits, 3 earned, and no walks. You have a point in here. His fastball is touching 97.6, which I believe was the highest that we've seen all season. Unfortunately, yep. The day after, I believe he got put on the injured list. Do you have an update actually for the injury? I did not see.
No, there's no update. There's no update, but it's pretty sure it's COVID. So it's not. It's nothing arm related. Yeah, it's pretty sure it's COVID. Not confirmed, but that's kind of what all signs are pointing to.
Yeah, typically if we don't get a ton of news out, then you kind of have to assume that because they have that privacy in place with the whole COVID procedure and all that. And you also have on here, he threw 9 total curveballs, 4 for strikes. We would really like to see him throwing more curveballs. I think it can be in a very effective pitch to throw in the mix, especially because he hasn't been all that effective for the majority of the time this year. I still think, I want to get your take on this too, but even in this game, we keep saying it over and over. And during his next start, I swear I'm going to get a stat on how his final lines from each game and then the breakdown inning to inning of when he gives up his runs. But it just seems like he always has that catastrophic inning that it just blows up out of nowhere. And I know in this case, Grisham didn't help that one, but he had another one too, where it was pretty much solely on him. So do you think it's just that one inning that's kind of ruining his outings? Do you think he's just losing concentration? I know we've been over it like a bunch of times. I'm just trying to figure out where the inconsistency is coming from and kind of where you're thinking it could.
No, I mean, honestly, I thought he looked great in this game. The obviously 5-1 loss would say otherwise, but if you watched him pitch, he looked fine. The fastball was on point. Just throwing it as hard as he has all season. Grisham had that pretty bad error in the second, I think it was. And I mean, that was Profar's ball. Like, I don't care if you're the Gold Glove center fielder, that's left center and more left than center. Let the guy catch it. Profar should have called him off regardless. It was a bad move. That being said, he didn't unravel there. He stayed strong and got out of the inning. At the end of the day, one run's not going to get it done. This game wasn't on Paddock for me. Yeah, he did kind of blow up in the sixth, but it wasn't a bad outing in my opinion. I thought he looked fine. There was a lot to build upon there. It wasn't a mistake by Tingler to let him go out there either. I mean, he looked good. Why not let him pitch in the sixth? And things just unraveled a bit, and it's a growing theme. So yes, there is a little bit of concern, but I hope that he doesn't let that sixth inning affect his mentality and his approach, because I thought through 5 innings of that game, he pitched a hell of a game. It's just the bats couldn't pick him up, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. He gets a lot of stick on Twitter, and a lot of the time, you know, it's rightly so. He's had some very poor outings, and there's been other times, even in those outings where he's had some bad final stat lines, where he has looked very, very good. And I think that's what the frustrating thing is with him so far is, even going back to his rookie year, when he had that stellar rookie year, he was in the sub-4 ERA. He was our ace for the year, made the squad out of spring training. The first couple months, he was unhittable. And then through the middle of the year, I don't know if you guys remember, but he struggled. I don't have the stats in front of you right there, but he did not do well. And then he recovered really the final five, six weeks of the season is when he picked it back up and he was throwing the baseball quite well again. So this has been a common theme for him. We have a mailbag question later in the episode too. So that we're going to go over to see if he would be better in the bullpen or not. And yeah, it's just, I think that's the frustrating part for everyone is the potential's there. Like you have right here through 97.6 miles per hour. That is gas for a starter. And he just has these little deficiencies, but hopefully he can build off that last start, because it looks like we're going to need him with the injuries that are mounting up right now. So yeah, you want to take us through game two?
Yeah, game two, 12-3 win, huge. The bats came alive. Big news of the night, though, unfortunately, Weathers got pulled after one. Forearm tightness was the diagnosis, so a little scary there. But all signs are at least he threw a bullpen today, and apparently he feels good. They were calling it dead arm, which really is just a baseball term for fatigue. Nothing to be overly concerned about from what the reports are saying. So usually when that happens is when you start to see more load on the arm. And that's kind of what happened. I mean, he's been a long relief, couple innings guy, and they started to throw some more innings his way. So if that's all it is, then good, but let's just kind of be cautious with him. But at the time it was scary. I mean, he was throwing pitches 2% slower than usual, according to Baseball Savant. So it was the right move. And luckily the bats came alive. Kim 2 for 5, two RBIs with a double, maybe two. I believe it was just one though. Tatis 2 for 4 with two RBIs. Mateo even finally got a hit. He hit a home run, 109 miles per hour exit velocity, which was great. And 7-11 with runners in scoring position throughout the night. It was good to finally see them string together some hits. They actually had 5 straight singles in the 6th. That's when they kind of blew it open. So overall, that's what we've been looking for. And they kind of finally put that game together. It was good to see.
Yeah, definitely good to see the bats come alive. And then I have on CBS here that he left with arm soreness, so not necessarily forearm tightness. I don't know if that's a discrepancy. Hopefully that means that it could be like even in his wrist and hopefully not his elbow or forearm. But yeah, no, that was scary just seeing that. When the first two pitches he threw, he was in the high 80s. And I thought he threw a changeup because that's usually what his changeup is sitting at when he throws. He doesn't throw that often, but yeah, you got a point.
So you told me it was his fastball, but I looked up the inning and I was kind of looking at the pitches and it was his changeup. His fastball was actually sitting 94 to 91, which is slower than what he usually throws, but it wasn't, like they said, 2% slower, but we're not talking 80. If it's 88, then yeah, that's serious. That's like Tommy John usually when you see that kind of reduction in speed.
Okay, thank goodness. Yeah, no, I thought it was fast. So it was a change up. My eyes did not deceive me. Thank goodness. All right. So hopefully that's a good sign. I know after two pitches, like you said, they came out and Tingler, I could tell, was very, very close to pulling him. He got reassurance from Ryan that he felt fine, probably was just tired. I mean, like in that last episode that we talked about, career high in innings and pitches thrown too. So maybe would have been beneficial, I guess, to push him back a day. But with that being said, or, you know, Thursday would have been a rest day, so it would have been into the Giants series. But with that being said, he looked like he felt great the start before and whatnot. So you can't really predict that. There's just some weird weather, weird air going on in Arizona. The Diamondbacks themselves had two guys that they had to send to the IL, the starter for that game. And then also Cole Calhoun too, in right field, he had to go on the injured list right before the game started. So just a weird, very weird game going on there, especially just the way that it kind of unfolded. The way we started, it was super slow again. And then, like you said, that sixth inning just helped blow it out. But yeah, how does I thought Mateo, didn't you hear he stole some signs and got that hanging curveball sign?
Yeah, Bob Brenly painting the narrative that we're cheaters after the whole Tatis thing with the Dodgers, which is just ridiculous. He's your classic old get off my lawn broadcaster that, I mean, I don't know who he has a bone to pick with, but he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So it was a stupid comment. It just makes it worse because in today's world, people just read a headline and they'll run with it. So with him saying that, articles getting written about it, it's just going to formulate things in people's mind that aren't true. And he even said it himself. His actual comment was, if this were Petco, I would think they're stealing signs. So it's like, why even say that? We're not in Petco. We're not stealing signs. We're just beating the crap out of your terrible starting pitching. Maybe look at your starters and how they have like a 4 ERA as a team and give them some shit, because it's not us. That's for sure. You guys suck is what it comes down to.
I know. I love how you said he's a classic get off my lawn type of guy too, because he's probably just mad he can't even grow a lawn out there because it's so damn hot. Yeah. So I'd be cranky all the time too and blaming everyone. And then on top of that, you see the video going around of Bauer up at the plate after all the crap that he gave Tatis, looking down at the catcher when he was setting up. Did you see that?
Yeah, they all, I mean, there's a video of the Tatis Bellinger, one. Yeah. He wasn't doing anything, but fine. If you want to assume something, yeah, I guess he looked down really quick. There's a video of Cody Bellinger, like clearly peeking over multiple times within an at bat. Like if you really want to look into it, they're the ones doing it. So I mean, it's stupid. It's not even worth our time, but there people are just painting the narrative and
yeah,
it's dumb.
But anyways, series split technically, yeah. Quick two gamer against the Diamondbacks. So get out of there. I saw something that we lost 11 in a row until that game two win in Arizona.
Yeah, in Arizona, like it went back to 2019. I want to say 19. Yeah, that we hadn't won. So finally got that monkey off our back. Would have been nice to get the two wins, but it's all right. We got a little rest Monday, split the series, got some more rest Thursday. And that brings us to the Gigantes at home. I know you guys know how much I hate the Dodgers, but the Giants are 1B in the Los disgustingness tier. I went to school with a lot of Bay Area, fans, air quotes, and they don't know baseball at all. They just happened to go to school when they went on their run, and they were the most unbearable people I was ever. It was terrible being around those people. So pose the question out there. If the Dodgers are the scum of the earth, what does that make the Giants? I got a couple good ones. I got the hipster pond scum. I love that one. That gave me a little chuckle. And then less violent scum of the earth, which I kind of like because, yeah, they don't beat people into comas, at least not as far as I know. I'm sure it's happened. But, yeah, hipster pond scum. I like it. So let's get into it. Game one, Darvish is just the ace we fully expected him to be. He was an absolute hoss out there. Six innings pitched, four hits, one earned run, and 12 strikeouts. He was so gross on Friday. Had those guys off balance the entire time. And the guys were able to pick him up. Grish went 2-for-3. Haas was 2-for-3. He probably needs to buy Tommy La Stella a beer because he couldn't handle a ground ball off his bat to save his life. And then Profar clutched up at the end with that single, two RBIs. But the moment of the game, man, Tim Hill coming in with those two strikeouts in relief with the bases juiced was just insane baseball to watch. He makes me nervous because his numbers this year are bananas on paper if you look at them, but he's given up runs. They just haven't been his earned runs. He's come in mm-hmm. in the ninth inning maybe with the runner on second or come in to relieve for someone else, and he'll give up runs, but they're just not credited to him. But lately, man, the guy has been lights out. That strikeout, the stadium went crazy like it was a playoff game. It was as loud as I've heard it, and it was 15,000 people. It was such a cool scene. Everyone was fired up. You was showing emotion. There's people flashing fans in right field, apparently, and it was an amazing scene. Melanson came in with the save, and overall, I mean, 16 team strikeouts to get the win. When you have more than half of all of the outs being strikeouts, you know you have an elite, dominant pitching staff, and it was on display on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Hill just continues to impress, like you've been saying. He does make me nervous. We touched on him last week too because he had that insane inning against the Dodgers too, and very similar situation here. You looked like he was dealing, ran into some trouble, and then when Ruff came up and supposedly hit that grand slam, it was like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. And then when it happened, I was like, was that foul? And like Tingler right away, to give him credit, he ran out there and he said, he didn't even listen to the phone, anything. He trusted his eyesight and he said, give me those headphones. I want to review this now. And turns out he missed it by inches. I mean, yeah. as Mark Grant always says, you know, couple more coats of paint, that probably would have been a fair ball. But yeah, to come back after that and get both guys on the high cheddar right there when he's deceptively quick. He doesn't blow it past you. He's 92, 93 max, but just that weird arm angle and his approach, I just absolutely love it. He just attacks guys. And I was just looking for one of Dennis Lynn's tweets where I think I got to find it, but he said something along the lines where just the effectiveness that he has against righties this year is unbelievable. And I'll find that stat and tweet for you guys. But I think that's what's so impressive too, because we literally acquired him as a lefty specialist, and here he is coming in and just absolutely dealing to righties. And I think that this year too, they broke down his release point and his mechanics, and he's really throwing that back leg up super high to get a little bit more momentum. And I don't know if that's creating some more velo. I don't know if that's creating a little bit more deception or just a little bit more balance, finding that release point, but he's challenging guys up in the zone consistently this year, especially to righties too. And I think that's what's kind of contributing to that success, but you couldn't ask more for him. I know that there's that one game in extra innings where he threw the 10th against the Dodgers, got out of it, and then he gave up that 2-run home run to Seager, and that's when it all unfolded. I think it was the first game against the Dodgers of the year where I think we got blown out in the end, but it was super close. And like you said, that those are probably his only runs that he's given up. That runner on second didn't count to him because it was from the quote unquote inning before and all that weird extra rules from extra innings. But yeah, just absolute monster this year. And then Melanson with the save again in the ninth inning, he has been lights out this year. His cutter is so nasty. He looks like he's throwing again, just like he was last year, following suit, and then even better, taking that next step. And we keep saying that the value that Preller got him at is just absolutely ridiculous. We touched on it in the offseason too, in a couple pods, where he wanted to come to a potential World Series contender, and oddly enough, didn't feel that the Braves were capable of doing that. So he came for a veteran discount here in San Diego. And so far, we're just reaping dividends off that man. He has been outstanding.
Yeah, so, I mean, he got away with some calls in the ninth, but I mean, to his credit, he pitched to him. I mean, it's not his fault that they were giving him strikes 3 inches off the plate. He hit that same spot three times in a row to, I think it was Wilmer Flores. So, I mean, he's doing the thing out there. Probably the best value pickup, not just for the Padres, but in all of baseball so far. He's been absolutely lights out.
Yeah, and I found that tweet for you guys from Dennis Lynn. So Tim Hill versus right-handed batters this season, 30 plate appearances, 2 hits, 11 strikeouts for an 0.74, 133, 185 slash line. Just
crazy.
Absolutely unbelievable. So there you go.
Yeah, big win. Big win. Like I said, it was a playoff atmosphere. The stadium was rocking. People were flashing each other in the fans. I mean, we might look back at some point this season and the Giants fan flashing people and getting kicked out might have been the turning point and spark that led us on the World Series run. We might look at this game in 10 years, call it the flash game because it sent us to a win. So vibes were there Friday and they rolled in game 2, same thing. Snell looked good early, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. Control was a little iffy though. By the third, I don't know if he was trying to be too cute, but he kind of got away from the fastball, in my opinion. Too many 2-0, 3-0 counts. I would just like to see him be a little more aggressive with it. He got himself into the jam in the fifth, I believe, got the bases loaded. But he was able to get out of it, struck the batter out. And again, same thing as the night before with Tim Hill. That stadium was so loud to see him get out of that jam. So it was great. Kept the lead. Obviously, Manny had a big night. 1-for-4, home run, 3 RBIs. Profar with a no doubter. Right off the bat, you could just tell that thing was gone. Yeah, it had the sound. The swing was looking beautiful. And then Crone added the insurance runs with that 2 RBI single late. But the big one for me on this, man, was the bullpen. Used to see Adams come in, strike out the side, basically throw nothing but sliders. Then Pagan come in, strike out the side. Then you got Stammen come in, who I know, you know, not a Stammen guy, but my relationship with Stammen, it's a roller coaster. All right. There's lows, there's highs. And right now it's a high, man. Credit to Stammen, because if there's been one person that has been absolutely a rock these last like 2 to 3 weeks, it's been Craig Stammen. And I totally messed up. I should have got his stats as of late, because I think he's pitched like no earned run baseball over the last 3 weeks. He has been the rock of the bullpen. So Craig, for now, I'm sorry. I'll probably say mean things about you soon, but for now, respect. And then my guy, Pierce Johnson, closed it out. No earned runs the last four innings, just what you want to see. Another impressive win. It was great to get those runs late because it was Di Sclafani, right? After the Manny home run, he was pretty dialed in, but we were able to get after their bullpen.
Yeah, just to build off that roller coaster of a relationship you have with Craig over there. I believe you slated him and then apologized at the end of last season too, if I'm not mistaken. So we were talking about like a Six Flags roller coaster.
Love,
this is no Disneyland.
It's love hate.
Hey, just appreciate and roll with the good times. That's what's going right now.
Just do your job is all I'm asking. And he's doing it right now. So respect.
Respect. There you go. From Los. That's all you got to do. Just do your job. And then I love how you brought up, you mentioned the Flash game. Tommy Pham, we're going to bookmark this game. And because of that Flash game, we're going to keep track of his numbers from here on out. I think he's going to go on a roll. He's going to go on a roll.
Yeah.
That's it. But
if anyone loves a good Flash, it's probably Tommy Pham on the team. So big strip club connoisseur, as everyone knows. We'll see what happens.
Willing to put his body on the line even. So I heard something about it this offseason. But anyways, Blake Snell, like you said, he looked good in the first two innings. He looked really good, dialed in. And that third inning, he keeps just, like you said, getting too cute. I don't know what it is. He's just losing control. I don't know if it's using that little bit of focus or what the case is. And then one point I want to touch on with that as well is Aaron Nola.
Yeah. Austin.
Yeah. Aaron's brother. I'm like, hang on a second. I've seen the guy in ages. Aaron Nola, pitcher for the Phillies. Not talking about you. Brother Austin, converted second baseman, who is a huge addition for us right now behind the dish, because poor Caratini, I swear, like I said last week, he's probably going to need new knees at the end of the season. He came in first game of the year, really looked like a good leader behind there. But point I'm getting at, this is Snell's third catcher in a month. He started out with Campusano, wasn't working, switched over to Caratini, and now he's on to Nola. So with that being said, hopefully you'll see Blake make some strides and gets that consistency with Austin behind the dish here in the month of May. And then really come June is where I'm looking for him to hit his stride. So we'll keep an eye out for Blake on that one, because he's going to be a massive piece in this rotation. But yeah, Manny getting that home run right off the bat in the first inning.
Yeah.
It felt like it'd been a while since we had a multiple first run inning. So that felt good, just because Di Sclafani, after that, he, like you said, he settled down. He pitched us very well in that first series. And then even the majority of this game as well, that was pretty much, you know, he made two mistakes and two of them were in the first inning, and then just completely shut the door. And then bullpen. How good has this bullpen been this year, man? It has just been absolutely lights out. We were just frothing over the mouth about Tim Hill, but like you said, Stammen, Adams, Pagan, Johnson, no earned runs. Question for you. If Adams' stuff is on point, if his location is there, is he the most unhittable piece in this bullpen?
If everyone's at their best.
If everyone is at their best. This is a question from left field. Maybe a question from the bullpen, I should say, way out there behind the fence. Is he the most unhittable bullpen piece that we have if his stuff is on point?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's between him, Kella, and Palm. But yeah, I mean, that slider is as good as it comes in baseball. It's basically unhittable. I mean, he almost threw all sliders and struck them out. They couldn't, they knew it was coming. And
yeah,
I mean, it was to lefties. I think he pitched two lefties in that at bat. Everything inside corner slider, they knew it was coming. They can't hit it. It was too money. So yeah, I mean, if he's dialed, he's one of the best relievers in baseball, and he's looked pretty dialed the last couple of games. So hopefully he can keep riding with that, because he's filthy.
Yeah. And you know, what's crazy about that too, is you didn't even include Turf God right there, Mark Melanson. And he's the one that's anchoring that bullpen. Just goes to show you how damn good this bullpen has been. But anything else you want to add for game two? That was a nice to see them break out at the end of the game as well to kind of just put that one to rest and really seal that dub there.
No, nothing game related, but you did bring up a good point. Snell already said that he loves having Nola back there. And we saw it last year. Yeah, the guy's a converted catcher pretty recently in the last couple of years, but
yeah,
he's a clearly smart guy and guys love pitching to him, and he can handle a lot of information, process, mm-hmm. and he knows the game well. So yeah, let's see him get comfortable with the guys. He just came back. So it's going to be fun to see him develop those relationships moving forward.
One point that I want to make too, that I almost forgot about, we have Cronenworth 1-for-4, 2 RBIs. That double steal that they pulled off right before he ripped it into right center. I mean, yes, we're maybe looking at 5-2, and then Mark has to pitch a game. We save him for this one. Pierce comes in because just, again, the aggressiveness on the base pass by Tingler has been very beneficial this year. And yeah, just that, that's so ballsy. There's back doors completely open. We have Cronenworth at the dish. No one's, there's obviously not a right-hander up there to block Posey's view, and boom, Tatis takes off. Right when the limelight's not on him and you're not looking at the guy, he says, yo, bring it back. Bring it
on me. I'm glad you brought that up, because we have the most stolen bases in baseball. It affects the game, not only to set our guys up in scoring position, because you're right, that's a game changer. We save Melanson, but it puts the pressure on the pitcher. We have the athletes. I mean, Manny is tied for the league lead, and I mean for the team lead in stolen bases. Yeah. And we have five guys with 5 stolen bases right now, or 4, sorry. I mean, that's crazy, and I'm glad we're utilizing it, because that's such a underappreciated, but definitely underutilized. And it's a real game changer if we can get away with it, and we can, because we have so many athletes on the team. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's definitely something that has started to stand out, and it's working wonders for us so far.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, just wanted to throw that in there. I was super pumped. The little things. It's the little things, man.
Walk us through game 3, since you were there and are apparently a bad luck charm for the Padres. I'm respectfully telling you not to go anymore this season, because we were going to sweep today, but you show up and bring this terrible juju apparently. So tell me about it. How was it?
so you next time you have a ticket, you're telling me you're not gonna.
Yeah, you're off the list, bro. You're next, but you're scratched.
Ah, I should have went on Saturday. Dinner, right? But anyways, game 3, parked it in the Sky Patio, 3rd story, bottom 3 rows, great view. Can get a couple foul balls up there. Parked it right in my seat. Couldn't find it, to be honest with you. I'd never sat in the Sky Patio before. Sit down. Man, I got to tell you, the people around me were so annoying, but I'm going to gloss over that. Sit down. I hear a crack of a bat. I'm like, oh boy, we're this Musgrove, second hitter of the bottom, top of the first. Hello. Can't speak right now. I see Profar running, Grisham running to right center. I'm like, oh no, that looks like it's gone. That's gone. And then I see Profar still sprinting, and I'm like, does he have a chance at this? And just full on lays out right on the warning track, which putting his body on the line, because he was very, very close to smacking into that wall face first, and made an absolute unbelievable catch. Then you go to the bottom of the first. Tatis is up. Like you said earlier in the episode, the most nonchalant home run I've maybe ever seen. It looked like he popped it up to first, maybe into the seats, just past the dugout. And it just escapes onto that porch. And I'm like, all right, here we go. 1-0. We've already had a fantastic play on defense where we got a standing ovation the inning before. And we lost 7-1. So yeah, maybe I am bad juju. Maybe to be fair though, I was at the World Baseball Classic of Adam Jones's fantastic play, robbing Manny Machado, mind you, in that right center gap. So whenever I'm there, something good happens in right center.
How did Team USA do in that game?
They got the dub, if I'm not mistaken.
But they didn't win the tournament, did they?
Did they win the tournament? Yeah, they won the tournament that year.
Oh, they did. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it was your fault.
I was there, and they ended up winning the whole damn thing. All right,
I take it back.
But yeah, a little disappointing. Not gonna lie. You know, been looking forward to it. It's been about 2 years, but you know, is what it is. We got the series win already. Touching on Musgrove, it looked like he was supposed to go tomorrow. Originally.
Yeah.
And then I think it might have in the end, I heard that he kind of blew his cover a little bit in the press conference that he was starting today. So it was speculation that Lamet was maybe going to come off the IL and pitch today. Maybe Weathers was going to, and then he slotted in just to give Musgrove a little bit more rest, just because after that no hitter, he's had some very laborious innings. He's had a couple 20, 30 pitch innings where he's gone a four innings, you know, I think it was four against the Dodgers as well, four against the Pirates. And so he's looked like a little flat at times, but the stuff is still there. Right now what's killing him is the home run ball. He's given up four home runs in six appearances. And that's pretty much his only weakness at this point in time. He's gone five innings, four hits, five earned, two walks, and six strikeouts. So again, just that three run home run today was a killer. I mean, four hits over five innings and two walks, that's barely over a one whip. His numbers have been just absolutely nasty. And then again, like we said with Paddock's game in Arizona, one run is just not going to get it done. It's just not. It doesn't matter how well you pitch. I mean, well, I guess you could pitch, you know, no runs, but that's just asking a little bit too much game in, game out, because it's been a little bit of a theme this year with our hitting. But nothing after the first inning at all offensively. In terms of runs, we did get in a couple situations where we had a couple runners on, but just couldn't get them in. And you got to give credit to the Giants pitching staff. They have the second best numbers behind us this year. So clearly they've got a pretty good set of arms. And I think that Gabe Kapler is doing quite a good job at not only using his arms, but he's doing a lot of in-game double switches and platooning guys. Whether it's in the fifth, sixth, sometimes the fourth inning. So I think that's pretty much what is coming down to their success. What I will say is, though, with that, typically you run into a little bit of a dry spell, for lack of a better term. So I wouldn't be surprised if they struggle a little bit with that methodology in the middle of the year. You never know. The Rays are very, very consistent with that as well. So maybe it does pay off, but if their pitching staff keeps doing what it's doing, then they're going to be quite the force here in the NL West. But still good to get that series win. Anything else you noticed from the game today?
That was quite the breakdown of the Giants pitching. I didn't realize this was a Giants podcast, Walls. I didn't know you were such a keen.
I do my due diligence.
MLB guy, shield guy over here. I think you hit it. You hit the notes. The Giants, I believe, lead MLB in pitches taken per at bat. It's around 4-3. So Musgrove, he looked okay. Location wasn't all there. So that was from the first inning. You could tell he was missing his spots a bit. It wasn't as sharp as we know he can be. So I kind of had a feeling, unfortunately, and it ended up turning out that way. But regardless, we got the series win. Huge. Pulled within a game and a half, like you mentioned, when you gave the standings rundown. So it's fine. It's where we want to be heading into this week. We had those two extra days of rest. So I think we're in a good spot. Couple stats for you guys this week. Couple trending stats. In the last 7 days, Grish has been on a tear, 5-for-20, three doubles, two strikeouts, slash line 400 average, 429 on base percentage, 550 slugging. He's hitting the ball real well. And same thing goes for Profar, 5-for-15. I wrote 5-for-115. That's not the case. That would not
That's
be
enough
good.
For a demotion.
But hitting 333, average 412 on base, and a 533 slugging. So they are the hottest bats on the team right now. And a cool stat I saw on the broadcast during the game, that last eight games, not including today, this was before the game, but 26 runs from the sixth inning on, which is what you want to see. These boys are fighters. They're staying in it late, and that's what you want to see from the boys. So pitching last 7 days, team 286 ERA, 108 whip and a 203 opposing average. So they're continuing to do their thing. Bullpen, 5 earned runs over 22 innings pitched over the last 7 days, which is, I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. But the crazy one that I saw, let me know what your takeaway is from this. These, all of these stats are most in the majors or best in the majors. So 125 innings pitched, 2.98 ERA, 151 strikeouts, and then a 1.12 whip, good for second in the majors on that one. What do you think?
I think the number to me right there that pops out is the amount of strikeouts per innings pitch. They're getting more than a strikeout per innings pitch at this rate. And we got guys that are just nasty. They're strikeout guys. And that's why we're getting out of these situations that a lot of other teams aren't. Because when you come into a ball game and it's first and second one out, second and third one out, it's, you know, first and third two outs, and you have pretty much anyone that you can pull out of that bullpen and get a strikeout, it sets you up for the double play. It gets you out of the inning. It gets you for a soft, you know, fly ball the next at bat after that. So I think that's what stands out to me, and that's what's attributing all the majority of this success as well. I know we don't have the walks on here. I think we'd probably be pretty decent on that, but yeah, then sub 3 ERA, you can't ask for more than that from the bullpen. And that's with, too, I mean, you're going to have these days where a guy's going to have an off day and they're going to give up, you know, 4 or 5 runs. So to see that collectively, it's under a 3 ERA with the amount of injuries that we've had in there as well so far this year. Good to see Kella back today, by the way. Get some more reinforcements there. I think that's what stands out to me. Is any – anything in that you are just absolutely wanting to grab hold of?
Maybe this is the pessimist in me, but the 125 innings pitch is what really popped out to me. I mean, obviously they're lights out, where you lead the league in ERA, strikeout, second in whip. That's incredible, and it's a testament to what they've done. But 125 innings pitched for the bullpen through the first month is not sustainable. And I know we've had some injuries. Mm-hmm. A lot of it goes to that. But I also think Tingler, I don't know. I'm not going to blame him, because it's situational baseball and that's just what the game's become. But we have a lot of injuries, man. I mean, I just did some quick math. Again, engineer. Not good at math though, so maybe this is wrong. Someone fact check me. I'm not gonna fact check myself. I'm just gonna roll with it. But we're about 17% into the season through the first month, and at this pace, our bullpen's gonna pitch 735 innings, which is insanity. And it's not gonna, even if they do hold up for that, they're gonna be absolutely cashed by the time the playoffs come around. So they need to figure out a way to get these guys some more support from the starting pitchers. And I don't know. I mean, they're killing it. Don't get me wrong. It's just, that's a little concerning to me. So we'll see what happens, but it's a lot of innings pitched.
It is. I like the fact that even though Northcraft was struggling today, he left him in for 2 innings just to eat up innings. Yeah. I think guys that are going to get called up and, you know, it's 6-1, just throw those guys out there. I've seen a little bit too many times where, you know, it's, and that's give and take, because we've proven that we can win any game no matter what the scoreline is. But with that being said, I still don't like seeing Pomeranz in when it's a 7-3 ball game, you know, a 6-2 ball game in the 8th inning. Like, if not, just put a Ramirez in there, put, you know, a Northcraft or a Krizmat or something like that in that role. So that's the only thing, because like you said, they're going to have some burnout. Hopefully we can get Strom back here soon too. I know that just having that lefty arm who can go long as well will be huge. And then tomorrow, just getting into the next week as well, if you're done with the bullpen talk, yeah. 3-game series versus the Pirates, Miguel Diaz on top of this is going to be starting out the bullpen game. So we have another big day for the bullpen tomorrow. No days off. Their next off day is a Thursday. So 3-game set against the Pirates. And then we go to San Francisco, 3-game series against the Giants up there in San Fran from Friday through Sunday. But Miguel Diaz called up today. I didn't know what the corresponding move was. I'd imagine that it was for a Ramirez or a Northcraft or something like that. Ramirez. Who, by the way, had 112 exit velocity in that lineout against the Diamondbacks on Tuesday, which I thought, which was best at the time for fourth hardest hit of the entire team, the entire year. But anyways, just the lineout was another out. Miguel Diaz starting off the bullpen day on Monday. So to continue off your point, looks like they're not getting any rest here soon. And we just really need, we're really yearning for that consistent, healthy five-man starting rotation. I mean, Yu Darvish has been out there, obviously. Blake Snell's been out there. Joe Musgrove. But four or five. Paddock hasn't missed a start, but he just got put on the IL, so he's probably going to miss one. So you have Paddock, Morihone, Lamet, and Weathers. They've all filed in, but we still need at least that fourth starter that's going to be there day in and day out, at least stretching the innings out and helping this bullpen go through. But anything you want to look for this week? You want to see a sweep against the Pirates, maybe another series win against the Giants? What are you looking for?
I want to see a sweep of every team that we play from here on out until September. But that'll realistically, I mean, we just need to take care of business. It's the Pirates. They're garbage, bottom tier. We should have took care of business over there. We'll be at home this time. Hopefully, I mean, we need to win that series. There's no excuses. Tuesday, TBD starter. So I think they might throw in Weathers or Lamet. We'll see because Darvish is listed for Wednesday, but Tuesday is a TBD game as of right now. We'll see what happens there. And then again, I mean, it's going to be at SF this time, but I fully expect them to take that series too. I think we're going to see another 2-1 victor. I think 2-1 for both of them. Definitely against the Pirates. We need to win that. We can't keep stooping down to the levels of the opponents that we're playing when we should be taking care of business of them. And the bats look good. They're starting to look good. So I fully expect a series win there. But yeah, let's get into our mailbag. You wanna take the first one?
Sure. Yeah. So again, thank you all for writing in. Like we keep saying, we're really looking forward to keeping a consistent mailbag rolling. Love talking to you guys, interacting with you guys. And it's been very fun here on Twitter in the last, couple months. But at LaurenBV89, her question is to you, Los. Well, to both of us, but I'll be asking you. Any trades you'd like to see Preller make before the deadline? If so, why?
Lauren, great question. I would like, let me backtrack there. Mateo's not a major league hitter. Him is getting there, but unless he's going to play left field, it isn't getting enough at bats to get comfortable. So we need better bats off the bench. I want to see Brian O'Grady get some playing time. I think he's got a decent bat. So I'd like to see that first, but if he gets called up and we just see more of the same, I would like to see a trade for like a Mark Canna from the A's. Ooh. Early 30s, like a veteran bat. He's on his last year, so he's definitely a trade target, I think. I think it's doable. A couple other guys, but that's the one I would like to see him make. And then possibly a pitcher. I think we have, I don't know, the injury bug is what's really killing us, but I could see them going after a pitcher. I've seen Max Scherzer thrown out a lot, which would be cool because I love Mad Max. He's one of my favorite pitchers. I love the intensity he brings, but guy's 37. Maybe he has a little left in the tank, but I would rather see someone of a different, maybe someone younger of a different caliber. But more importantly, I think we need to improve our bench bats.
I agree. I'm going to throw out two names here, both outfielders that I would love to see. One being a local lad in the name of Chris Bryant. I think you've heard of him. Third base, obviously probably not going to play there too often, but he plays a solid amount of left field. We could use, I think we're missing that very consistent, just extra, I don't know what it is. Like Tommy Pham obviously has had his struggles. Profar has been pretty serviceable. I still don't consider him an everyday single position type of player. I mean, he might play every day in the sense he's going to play left field here, second base here, right field here, center field there, first base here. But I still want to see that solidified left fielder. So I would really like to see a Chris Bryant type come in. Superstar last year of his contract could be a not so cheap rental, but if we can trade away guys to the Cubs again, I'm sure that AJ could do something there. Another one that I would like to see is Jesse Winker. He's leading off for the Reds right now. Currently hitting 365 in 85 at-bats, 6 home runs, 16 RBIs with a 1.078 OPS. Lefty at-bat, 27 years old. Career stats, he's hitting 287, just under 1,000 at-bats with 48 home runs, 135 RBIs. And yeah, he can fill that right field, left field spot. He's a leadoff hitter, so I'd imagine, I don't watch any of the Reds games, but I'd imagine that he's athletic enough to do a job there and hit top of the lineup. And I think that's what we're missing the most right now is a lefty bat in there. So that's why I like that you brought up O'Grady too, because I would like to see him get some at bats here in the future for sure. Near future for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Good points. Chris Bryant, I think, is asking for a little too much, but yeah, I'd love to see him in the lineup. He's killing it so far this year. So it's probably going to be a high price tag. Next question. @Mercier_Carson, Carson Mercier. How long is Paddock's leash? And if he were to be replaced, who would you replace him with?
I think it's still decently long because of the injuries that we were just talking about in the starting rotation. I feel like if Morejon hadn't gone down and Weathers hadn't had a hitch yet, and Lamet was kind of more in the mix, I think his leash would be much shorter. But I have seen some progression from him recently. This question keeps popping up over and over. You know, is he going to be a future bullpen piece? How long is his leash? That sort of stuff. So I think for now, as long as he stays healthy, he's still going to get at least a few more cracks at it, just because I don't think we have the depth yet. Have not even heard Mackenzie Gore's name from the organization of potential call up here anytime soon. So I don't know if they're waiting to see him throw some innings in AAA when that gets rolling here in the next week. But if he were to be replaced, who would I replace him with? If we're going in house, I think a guy to throw in there that we currently have, like I said, Mackenzie Gore, maybe Matt Strom when he comes back. I know he's had a sniff in the rotation, just assuming that Weathers is that other guy, because Weathers to me would be the most natural replacement there. And then if we're going to go get a guy, yeah, I mean, Scherzer, like you said, would be way, way top of the list. But I don't know. I could see them picking up a someone that got designated for assignment, like we did with the Brad Hand, Kirby Yates type deal, and just really, really low risk. Maybe mooching off a team that's not performing too well and going from there. I don't have any specific names, but in-house, I'd go Weathers is the obvious one. Possibly a Gore, and then if Strom comes off the IL right now, we could probably look at that closer to the trade deadline, because I'm sure that we'll have a wish list from the both of us of what the Padres would be doing in July. But anything, how long do you think his leash is at the moment, Los?
You know those leashes that that it's kind of like a big round handle, and they can just go super long. It's kind of like they're retractable. Those retractable leashes.
Yeah, just hit a button in their back.
Yeah, he's got it's in the mode where like that thing can just keep on running. You know, that's how long his leash is right now. Because it's not to his credit, he's not pitching amazing baseball. But yeah, the injury bug's just absolutely torn us apart. Like you said, Weathers, Lamet, Morejon, we don't have guys. So I mean, his leash is as long as it can get right now. If Weathers gets healthy, if Lamet gets healthy too, then yeah, then we're talking about, is he getting sent down? It'll probably be a long relief guy, especially with how much we've used our bullpen. But for now, at this very moment, leash is continuous. That thing is just running. That guy can go a couple miles and that thing's not going to pull back on him. So who would I replace him with? Yeah, Gore. That's really the only guy I can even think of off the top of my head right now, but it's not going to happen. Not anytime soon. But yeah, long leash. And then last question, Kendall, our boy, big needs, 619. Have y'all thought about adding some guests on? Have we, Walls?
Yes, Kendall, we have. I know that we mentioned it on a few episodes ago, just before the season started, to where we are considering having a panel. I don't think it'll be weekly. It'd be something that maybe would be a once a month type thing, to where, you know, just even friends of ours that are good Padres fans, or, you know, fans of the show too, as well on Twitter, if you just want to, you know, write in like you are. We're definitely thinking of that. TBD on a schedule and when that will begin. We kind of wanted to get a footing first here, just in the first month, 2 months of the season, just to see how it would roll, get on that weekly schedule, but definitely looking to get a panel in here, get some guests on.
Yeah.
Hopefully some interviews here for you guys in the near future as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We're like a little fetus right now, as far as our podcast life goes. You know, we're just trying to be nurtured and grow. We're a little caterpillar. You could even say, but as we begin to, yes, a fetus caterpillar, as we begin to spread the wings, panels, interviews, we've got some stuff down the pipeline, so just stay tuned and you'll see a lot more content, a lot more fun stuff for you guys to listen in on. You want to go through our weekly shout outs?
Yeah. First one, Farlundo, aka Rafael Tablado. Appreciate the interaction, appreciate the follow, all the back and forth that we've had this last week. Appreciate the support.
Mickey Coke, great name, very very cool name, great baseball name.
Really is.
Yeah, shout out to you, man. Good follow. Appreciate all the love on Twitter, man. I hope you like the pod.
Yeah, and last but not least, we have Bet at Bet 94, Elizabeth Baltazar. Thank you again for the follow. Our Twitter game is going strong. We're absolutely loving it and loving the interaction that you guys are giving us. So. Yeah, again, that's our weekly shout outs. Every week we like to kind of point out who's been interacting with us a little bit more or more recently. So if you guys want to get on that little list, then keep the interactions coming.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoy. Give us some retweets, spread the love. We want to reach as many people as we can, as many fellow pod lovers as we can. We love supporting the brown and gold. As always, big week ahead of us. Let's go take care of business and go pods.
Go pods.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Podfathers, a Slam Diego Padres podcast. The Podfathers is produced by Los and Walls and is executively produced by Jacob Lamb.
Our theme song is A Bubba by Trilock. To get in touch with the show, follow us on Twitter at Podfathers619. That is at PADFATHERS619. Or email us at podfathers@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major audio platforms.
Go Pods!